What I'm not as excited about is, have you been in the stores lately? There's already Christmas stuff up. Like, really? That's 4 months away. But okay, I mean, I love Christmas, but really? But what I like least this time of year is, can anybody guess? No, no, no. What's every ad about now? Politics, right? Can't even. And all these, and the way they do the ads, it's almost like, you want me to hate this guy, but I hate you for the way you're doing this ad. I can tell that you are just not being fair. No matter what side it's on, I'm just like, I don't like you now. And now I don't like you either. And a lot of them, I don't even know who the people are sometimes. And I know that's the point of it. I get it. But I, and then all the stuff come to my house. Sorry. I was trying to do some yard work yesterday, and this guy was going door to door. I saw him coming because I was outside. And I thought, he's everybody's least favorite person today. They're trying, this family, it's a big weekend for family. And I know our neighbors had family over. And, you know, I saw him coming. And part of me was like, I'm going to duck in the garage and just let him go by. Right? And then I thought, I can't. So I talked to him for a while. And I thought, you know, you're not making friends. This style of doing it's not really popular anymore. You know, and leaving the stuff at the door, I get it. But here's the thing. I thought what I'd do today is tell you who to vote for. Right? Because I'm going to tell you who I'm voting for. I'm voting for, you ready?
Yep.
For Jesus. Woo-hoo! You know why? Because he always makes the right decision. He's always right. He never offends anybody. Is that true?
No.
Is that true?
No.
You realize how offensive Jesus is and was? Even here, when he was here, super offensive. He cares for the poor. He's got my vote. He'll get people's lives together and get them on the right track. Isn't it funny how many things we look to politicians to do that really only Jesus can do?
Right.
He stands for righteousness. He treats people respectfully, at least not the hypocrites, but everybody else. He stands for marriage every time. He's going to protect life. He is a great communicator, right? He feeds people, right? I mean, he literally walked on water. I mean, how can you go wrong? I'm voting for Jesus. And he's actually the Savior. People may claim to be the Savior, but he's actually the Savior. But the problem is he's not running. I don't know if you've noticed. Not only is he not running this year, he's never run. He'll never be on a ballot, ever. No, he will never be there. He's not even American. You knew that, right? He wasn't American? You knew that, right? Do you know he was Jewish? Just so you know. But who you vote for matters. I heard the statistic and I looked it up because to me it was one of those, wait, what? Did you know whoever goes into the presidency brings about 5,000 people with them to Washington? Did you know that? I did not know that. Like staff, I mean, there's just a lot of roles that are filled by whoever's in that office. They end up bringing this entire community with them who believes like them, you know, believes the same things. I don't know if you've noticed this either, in our country at least, there's no Christian political party. You notice that? Which makes sense. Because it's just the same as, you know, there's no Christian cars. You may follow a car that's got a Jesus sticker on there. We don't do that as much as we used to, but remember the fish symbols and all that? Then they would cut you off and you're thinking, wait a minute. Christians can disagree. One thing I always do, maybe you probably never thought of this, but I always assume there are people in the room today that don't agree with what I'm going to say. I assume that. I do. And I also think through, well, there's probably this group of people who come from this perspective and this and this and this and this. And I can't do it with every sermon and every illustration, but I try to bring illustrations that will at least touch a broad spectrum. Because we have people in this room from all different perspectives, all different places in life, different ages. You know, a couple weeks ago, we celebrated some people's birthdays who were, I don't even know how to say that, Noventarians, is that it? 90-year-olds? It's amazing. I get that. People are going to disagree. Christians should be able to disagree. They should be able to disagree agreeably. Did you catch that? I've talked to some Christians who don't vote at all. And what they told me was this. I get it. What they said was, I just can't vote for somebody so flawed. So they stay home. Then I heard this statistic this week. And again, it sent me to the research. And sometimes it's hard to do research because you'll Google something or use Bing or whatever you use. And then right away, all these answers come that are clearly biased. And so you have to surf through the bias. On this one, I had to go down like a whole page, like to the next page, to get something that looked a little unbiased. Because what I asked was, how many people actually elect the president? Because the statistic I heard was 18%. So here's how this breaks down. Maybe you weren't aware of this, but not every American votes. In a good election, do you know how many vote? 60%. That's if it's really highly charged. So this one will probably be like that. You'll probably see more people voting, which I think is good. But out of that, not everybody votes all the way because they might register but then never vote. And so then the way it ends up working is only about 18% of the actual 330 million people in the U.S. actually elect the president. It kind of makes it wild. In some of our local elections, it's even less because not everybody votes for those. It's crazy to think, who is that that's making those decisions that shapes everything? Because whoever you put in office, they have a belief system, and their belief system is going to be reflected in their decisions and the choices that are imposed then on us, and you may not have had anything to do with it. The question needs to be, which belief system is best? And you may think, this is a serious question. I'm being serious about this. If Christianity's worldview is best, then I think that the Christian worldview should prevail on what our government is and the way our world is set up, because that's how it works. It's a serious question, though, because it's kind of come into question lately. Which belief system is it that values people because we see them as image bearers of God Almighty? Every single person has immeasurable wealth. Worth. They're worth a lot. C.S. Lewis said this. He said, you never meet an ordinary person. Sorry, it gets chills and it chokes me up a little bit. Here's what he said. He said, every single person you meet is a special creation of God, headed to an eternal destiny in heaven or hell. No one's neutral. Every single person is of immeasurable worth. That's what Christianity says about every single person. Which belief system is it that values life and true tolerance, where we can disagree and love you? Jesus said to love your enemies. Do you realize that's not the mantra of most religions or people? You realize that, right? You don't cancel people as Christians. You don't. You love them. You love them and pray for them. And if people deceitfully use you, and I'm not saying this is a politics thing, I'm just saying in general, Christianity is love. It's the only religion that does that. You love people no matter what. It's the belief system that started charities and public education. Maybe you weren't aware of that. Public education is a Christian idea. Hospitals. I know that sounds crazy. Used to be you could only afford it. You went, and there weren't hospitals for everybody. That's a Christian thing. Christians started that. Libraries, science itself, Christian. Why? Because Christians looked at God and said, there's a God, he's a God of order, and he created this world, and there must be an order that we can discover. Make people hungry to discover what God had done to glorify him. It was Christianity that ended slavery and ended child brides and child labor and started orphanages and literally has ended child sacrifice around the world and going back a little ways, gladiatorial death matches, child prostitution. It's Christianity's done this. But in our world today, we're kind of sold this myth. It's funny how myths creep through society. And it's all over. I mean, if you watch the news or if you hear media a lot of times, we're sold this myth that Christianity and Christian values are repressive and mean-spirited and hateful and judgmental. That's not real Christianity. And what's happened is we've allowed our influence to put us back, and we're just here and not out there. Because we've exited from the schools, schools have become one of the most secular places on earth. It's crazy, because true Christianity is the opposite of all that. We're supposed to affect our culture. I don't know if, it's funny because I've heard people, and I've read a lot over the last few weeks because we planned to do this series for a long time. And I've read well many people who say, no, Jesus, he never talked about politics. But he did, though. He did it in a different way, though. He didn't get up on the stump and run for office, because you'd realize that wasn't a thing then. He did say this, though, in Matthew 5:18 in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, you are the salt of the earth, not salt of the church and just your family, salt of the earth. But what good is salt if it has lost its flavor? Can you make it salty again? It'll be thrown out and trampled underfoot as worthless. You're also the light of the world, not just the church, the world. Like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden, no one lights a lamp and then puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your good deeds shine for all those to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father. We are intended, God, Jesus intended for us to literally change culture, which is what the early church did. And they did it really because they didn't have the system we have today. They did it in an incredibly powerful, subversive way. Because in their culture, it was common just to abandon children you didn't want. And if you were a woman, you couldn't provide for yourself. Either you had to sell yourself, but not in Christianity. They took those women in, and they took those babies in. It was incredible what they did, and they changed the entire culture of Rome in under 200 years. It was completely revolutionized. Christianity went from this crazy, radical, love your enemies religion to the state religion in a very short period of time. Salt has a preserving nature. Light has a purifying nature. It's supposed to shed light and show what needs to be changed. Now, the platforms of the different parties are different. I don't know if you ever even do that, but you should. Because I read this statistic and it kind of blew my mind. 75% of the decisions that the government that comes into power enacts are reflected in their platform. So you want to know what they're going to do? Look at the party platform, because they're tied to that. We should be influencing all of that. I don't know if you notice this, but Washington has a bad habit of misnaming laws. Have you noticed that? They're all about spin. So a lot of times you've got to figure it out. You've got to do some homework to figure out what they're actually doing or saying. And I don't know about you, and maybe it's just me, but I don't trust anybody anymore. I want to know what's true. And I just can't take someone's word for it. If I see it on a commercial or a TV spot or whatever, I'm a skeptic about all that. I mean, you think about the euphemisms, the way that we try to win temporary public support. Because who could be against something affordable, right? If you name it the Affordable Care Act, it's affordable, right? I don't know if that's been your experience. It hasn't been mine. Think about the Respect for Marriage Act. That's not what that did. In fact, it opened up churches and Christian nonprofits all over the country to lawsuits that didn't exist before. I mean, some people might argue about the Right to Work Act or the Patriot Act or recently the Inflation Reduction Act. I'm sure it's still acting. It's still working. It's still working on reducing inflation. But again, you might be sitting there and like, Pastor Dennis, don't get political. Jesus didn't tell us to vote, did he? Well, they didn't vote. It wasn't a thing. I don't know if you realize that. But at the time Jesus was here, he was trying to change hearts and minds. But he still intended his church then following him to affect culture. They, at the time, voting wasn't even an option. Democracy, of course, had been, as an idea, had been started by the Greeks, but it wasn't in action at the time because the Roman Republic ruled. I don't know if you realize, but Israel was a vassal state, and basically what happened is the party in power just told you who was in charge. That's what they did. But Jesus did address the religious rulers who were incredibly political and influential in his world, and he told them at one point, in Matthew 23:23, he says, what sorrow awaits you teachers of religious law and you Pharisees? They were basically the religious politicians who affected Jewish daily life. He called them hypocrites. He said, you're careful to tithe even the tiniest income from your herb gardens, but you ignore the more important aspects of law, justice, mercy, and faith. You should tithe, yes, but don't neglect the more important things. Paul navigated in the political system. Paul, the apostle, he could have just let things go, but he stood on his rights as a Roman citizen, eventually even calling and demanding to have an audience with Caesar. Romans 13 says that the government's there to maintain order and justice, and none of us who are orderly and following justice should fear. Peter says this, be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be the emperor as supreme, because they didn't have what we have, and governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and praise those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good, you should put to silence the ignorance of foolish people. Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. Honor everyone, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the emperor. The difference today is we can affect the government. We can vote. Christians who don't vote, now I'm not trying to offend you, but just saying. If you do not vote, then you give up your influence on the government. You've given it up. And what you've given it up to is people who may not share your value system. And then you will live under the dictates of that. Look what's happened in our country of late. I mean, there's been a lot of crazy things that I think all of us are sitting back like, wait, what? There's books in the elementary school that literally graphically talk about sex? Yes. How do you think that happened? It's because we gave up our influence. There's things, I mean, traditional Christian values have been under assault for a long time. What we used to think of as traditional now is under attack. But it was traditional because Christians had a lot of influence in culture, and now that has diminished. We see our tax dollars going to pay for things that we would consider immoral. And then what happens is people confuse legal with moral. Just because a law is passed doesn't mean it's moral. All those decisions of our elected officials come back to us. I don't remember who said it, but they said, you get the government you deserve. Have you ever heard that before? I think of it like this. I care about people, and I know that the decisions government makes affects each and every one of us. The fact is, if you care the most about the people who are doing the least well in our society, those decisions affect them first. It's the ones with money in their pocket that a lot of those decisions don't affect. When gas prices go up and inflation rises, it's people who are living paycheck to paycheck who suffer the most. And all that has to do with our votes. You know what else has to do with our votes? Is freedom. We enjoy a lot of freedom in this country that doesn't exist in other countries. But do you realize those freedoms have to be I know they're enshrined in the Constitution, but they have to defend it, and we have to re-vote on them all the time. I think about this. I think I've mentioned this story, but we were in Jamaica doing a missions trip, and as we were leaving the kind of the touristy area, there was this huge roadblock, and they were inspecting cars as it went through. And the bus driver, I said, what's going on here? And he looked at me and he said, we don't have a Bill of Rights in Jamaica. I said, what do you mean? He says, they're literally inspecting every car because a tourist got robbed, and they can't afford that because tourism is one of the biggest, you know, money makers for the state. He says, so they're literally pulling people out of these cars, and they have no habeas corpus. I was surprised he knew what that meant. He says, they can hold you indefinitely. Now think about that. Things have changed. I don't know if you've seen any of the news reports about how in Canada and in England, pastors are being arrested for preaching the gospel. It's happening. Even our foreign policy, the way that, you know, we treat Israel, freedom of speech, exercise of religion, all of that. I don't know, we've watched the world change, and I think part of it is because Christianity and traditional Christian values have been maligned, and I feel like we've been shamed into not expressing what is true. We're supposed to affect this world. We're supposed to affect it in an amazing way. And I love this because really we do have the answers to all that. Everything I mentioned in the very beginning, Christianity is the best way to live. I was asking students this last week, why are you a Christian? You don't have to answer out loud. I just want you to think about it. Why are you a Christian? One of the most common reasons people say it's because I was raised that way. Okay. And for some people, they say because it changed my life. And I often, and then some people say, well, I was presented with the option heaven or hell. I didn't want to go to hell, so I became a Christian. So I was kidding around. I said, oh, so fire insurance? And they laughed. But the other thing is, I'm a Christian because it's true. It's real. There's a God in heaven who created you for relationship, and he told you the best way to live. Not only is it true, but it works best. Why does it work best? Because it's like the manufacturer's instructions that come with that toy you bought for your kid, and now you're frustrated because you can't figure out how to put it together. But if you go back to the manufacturer's instructions, they knew how to build it, and that's why they gave you those. And God is the same way. He's given us a way to live and a way to live best. And that way is actually the best way. But there's people in the world who look at it and they think, I don't want to do that. I want to do it my own way. And in doing it your own way, it ends up in death and destruction and misery. And we keep standing here and saying, but this is best. God's rules are awesome, actually. They're meant to protect and provide for you. You can line it up with every single moral command God has. And if we would live that way, life would be best. Think about just not lying to each other. Can you imagine the trust that would be there and how everything would change? You wouldn't have to count your change or check this or that, because you would know that people are treating each other with righteousness and they treat each other with respect, and they do it because that's God's way. Think about if everybody was faithful in marriage. I mean, why would he say it that way? Why would he create Adam and Eve and tell them to be faithful to each other when Jesus was asked about creation, and he said God created a male and female. Marriage is supposed to be between a man and a woman and last forever. If we did that, think about how the world would be different. Just think about that. Think about the diseases that wouldn't even exist. Think about the healthcare issues that wouldn't even be an issue. Think about babies who'd be cared for because they would be born in a healthy home, that it would be a great place. God's ways are best, best. Think about what love means. I mentioned it earlier. But think about this, because we hear this love is love and love is acceptance and you have to approve of what I'm doing. And I think of it from, especially from a parent's perspective, that's not really love. You know what love is. What God's definition of love is loving somebody in the best possible way is what God intended. What the best thing for them, the thing that's God's best for them. I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, if I would have said that to my parents, like, love means you letting me do whatever I want, because whatever I wanted wasn't probably the best thing. Because I would have stayed out forever. I would have been probably in the creek or an ocean forever and never come home, only because it was just fun to me. And the thing is, when we just are left to our own desires and just do that, that's not love. Love says, you know what? There are boundaries to this, and the best way to do it is this. You can't stay up all night and eat candy. You just can't. It's not the best thing for you. But out of love, I'm going to tell you no. And out of love, I'm going to punish when you go astray. And out of love, I'm going to raise you like this, because I do love you. We're not as good at messaging that, though. And that message doesn't ring as sweet and nice as do whatever you want, right? No consequences. I mean, that answer sounds great. But you know it's not a loving answer, and it's not the best way. It's hard to message sometimes the way God wants. But I think if we turn that around and if you realize how important God's message is, then you should be proud of it and shout it from the rooftops. Our worldview is the best way to live, and it should affect the way you vote. I think about this. I consider what the person who's running for whatever, what they're going to do in office. And I want to know what they believe and what their value system is, and that determines my vote. But still, you might be sitting here and like, well, who are we supposed to vote for? Both candidates are flawed. Yes, they're flawed. I posted this, I don't know, I think it was yesterday. I'm so glad God uses all of us. It was we're doing a Bible study, or a Bible reading study plan that we're going through the Bible, and we came into that second Corinthians passage where it talks about God puts his treasure in jars of clay. I love that, because none of us are special. None of us are awesome. The fact is, all of us are flawed. And I thank God that he still uses flawed people, because that's all he has to work with. The fact is, this is it. And the same is true with people running for office. Not one of them are gonna line up next to Jesus. And the bottom line is, they're all gonna be morally compromised in some way. So here's how I look at it. Here's how I look at it. I hope this is helpful for you. What I do is I look at the principles over the person. I look at the policies over the person. Because I can't vote for a person. I just can't. I read this yesterday. I'd already finished the sermon. I read this and I went back to the computer and added this in because it made me laugh. Well, first of all, you need to vote your values, but this made me laugh. A vote is not a Valentine. And I laughed, I caught my eye, and I'm like, wait, what? And it said, you aren't professing love for the candidate. It's a chess move for the world you want to live in. Did you catch that? It's a chess move for the world you want to live in. Society didn't get depraved overnight. What has happened is Christians have stood silent for too long, and we haven't influenced our culture. But I'm saying that, but I want you to be very, very careful with how you engage. Because you remember the whole love thing? I would ask you, please don't. I don't think politics is helpful online. I don't do it. I don't. I don't do it because I don't think it's helpful. It's hard to argue, and you can't control once you write something. This happened a few years ago, and I had put something on, and somebody who I knew reacted to it, and then someone else who I knew reacted to them. And I got a text from I think it was Pastor Nick even. He's like, hey, you might want to look at your Facebook. And I looked, and there were 72 comments under one thing I said between these two people. And then other people were going back and forth, and here's what's comical about it. Those people go to the same church, didn't know each other. So I messaged both of them individually, and I said, hey, look, I'm taking down this post because I don't post things for you to argue. I was posting something, what I thought was encouraging, and it was taken the wrong way and then went into this crazy thing. And I said, and you guys actually go to the church, same church, you should meet each other. I think you'd like each other, actually, if you knew each other. What had happened is, as they were discussing this, both of them had kind of got away from the main thing. And what originally, they probably disagreed this much, but they were arguing way over here. It's crazy. I also feel like you need to be really cautious how you engage people. Remember, we're Christians. We serve the king, not the political party. Remember that. Do not forget who we serve and why we serve him. What I care about most is that people go to heaven. Because I've had people criticize. I've had people, you know, leave this church. You're not political enough, and you should have preached about this, and this was in the news, and you didn't say anything. And I've had that happen quite a bit, actually, over the last 4 years especially. You know, with the COVID and before that, and then all the stuff going with that. And what I kept reminding them is, look, my main goal is for people to go to heaven. Now, I do believe we should affect how we live on this earth while we do that, but my main goal is that. So whatever you do, make sure you love well. I think things have changed, too, in culture. One thing is this. I feel like things have changed dramatically because people feel like if you criticize my position, you're criticizing me. It's like people take it super personal. But I do this. I don't really support a party unless it lines up with Scripture. Then I support it in that election or that vote, but it's not as if it's about that. I want to say this too, and I heard this and I thought this was really a good line. I don't feel like the church is getting more political. I think what's happened is the world politics has gotten kind of edged into theological things and moral things. It's like they've come into our realm about morality. It's not like we're jumping on them, they're jumping on us. I mean, redefining marriage, you know, they called things like reproductive rights, which used to be called abortion. They make policies and then we pay for that. I feel like another thing is people used to find their identity in their family and their faith and maybe even their job, but now it seems to be these political issues and causes, and it's crazy. You challenge their position, then it's a personal attack. I feel like this. There's no area of our life that Jesus should not reign over, including our voting. It needs to be part of what we do. And some might say, and I've read this and I've heard this from people, still don't engage. Just pray and evangelize. Oh, okay, I get what you're saying, but Jesus still said to be salt and light. And being salt and light isn't limited to just those things. It's gonna affect everything. And it has those properties that I mentioned before. They sanitize, it exposes, it corrects. Think about this. I look at it like this. We're just people who are in a community and we're deciding how we should be governed. We all have that right, and we shouldn't exercise it. Someone's values are gonna be imposed on us. I want them to be Christian values. That's how I look at it. One worldview will dominate no matter what, and ours is best. I want ours. And when we withdraw, there's a vacuum and somebody fills it. Think about this. Think about this for just a minute. I mentioned earlier that the schools have become completely secularized. What has happened? I don't think we intended this, but when that happened, it's like church is here and this is where faith is, and school is over here and this is where science and truth is. And that's a big mistake. Because what has happened is people think, oh, faith isn't really faith, or faith isn't thoughtful, or faith isn't reasoned, but it is. Not only that, we should influence all those things. And with that, it should be no surprise to us. Somebody said this, I thought it was really wise. We send our kids to be taught by Caesar, and then we're surprised they come home Romans. Of course they're gonna be influenced. They're influenced. And if you do not know who's influencing them, you should. You should know, how are they teaching history? How are they teaching even English? Or whatever it is they're teaching, they have influence, huge influence. So how are we as Christians supposed to influence this world? I think your votes matter. But I think of this. I think about how Christianity literally has changed the world in the last couple hundred years. As I mentioned, charities, public education, hospitals, libraries, science, you know, ending slavery, orphanages, all those things I mentioned. Those are things that Christians have done in culture and in society, and ultimately at the ballot box, and have changed this world for the better. It really does matter. I want you to think about this just from the past, just a few years even. Christian voting does make a difference. Probably the biggest thing that you need to think about is the president chooses who goes on the Supreme Court. Right. And then the Supreme Court has the ability to sidestep even voting, because they can make a rule at the Supreme Court that changes everything and people have never voted on it. It's big. And I'm sure you're aware of this. Supreme Court justices are lifetime appointments. So that will change literally everything. And I know it seems far off, but think about this. We at least still in this country still have a lot of freedom of speech, which means freedom to evangelize, but you can't do it everywhere. There was a guy arrested in front of an abortion clinic for praying in front of the clinic. He didn't say anything out loud, but they knew he was praying. That was in Canada. And he's in jail today. I just want you to understand, these things seem far off, but they matter. Freedom to practice our beliefs and raise your children the way you believe they should be raised. That's changing in a lot of places, in a lot of places. Freedom to make a living and provide for your families. All of these things matter. So I want to challenge you. Don't look at the policies. Don't look at the people as much as you look at the policies. You've got to look at that. I want to challenge you to do something different too. This is a big deal. If you're not registered, I just want you to think through why you wouldn't be registered to vote and why you wouldn't vote. So I know earlier I started the sermon telling you I was gonna tell you to vote for. I'm not telling you who to vote for. I'm telling you the principles are what should determine who you vote for. So I'm aware that some people aren't registered. I would guess most of you are, but just in case, for the next couple weeks we are doing voter registration in the lobby. And there are some rules that go along with that. You know, you probably are aware of these things, but maybe not. Voter registration deadline is October 9th. That's not that far away. It's October 9th. The way it works is you do have to bring identification if you're gonna do that. This is nonpartisan. It doesn't matter who you register. You can register with whichever party. There will be no candidate information. We're not doing that at this registration time. It's just about registering. That's what it's about. You have to be a citizen. You have to be 18 years of old by November 5th. If you're younger than that, you can register at 17 and a half, as long as you're gonna be 18 by November 5th. So we are doing that next week. We'll have a lot going on next week. We're gonna deal with another political issue, which has become political. It used to be moral, but we're gonna talk about that next week. But I do wanna call you to this. I wanna call you to pray. If for you this has been a difficult thing to hear, like, I'm not sure we should do this, I wanna challenge you to do this with me and pray this week. I wanna challenge you even further, because I sincerely believe God wants to bring in a harvest that we have not yet seen in this culture. I believe that God wants us as Christians not only to just affect, you know, who's running government. I mean, I think that's important, but ultimately, like I said, it's to me mostly about people knowing Jesus. I really do believe that God is doing something different in our time, and I know it feels crazy. You know, you hear this thing. Sometimes I just have to turn off all the news and media because I need to just focus, and I don't want to have that sense of agitation or drama that all that brings. Sometimes I just need to turn it off and focus on him. I want to challenge you to do this. I'm I'm assuming you already spend time in prayer, but I'm going to ask you to challenge you to change that and see God do something that's way beyond. And not just politics, but this whole world. We have a world that is broken. We have a world that is desperately in need of Jesus. We have a world that is so upside down on so many things. But I know your own lives. I mean, there's people here who've been praying, expecting. As Pastor Nick was leading that prayer time, I was thinking about that. And if I could have whoever's going to be on our keys come up and join me here. I was thinking about the fact that, you know, I know that there's people in this church who've been carrying some heavy weight for a long time. I have too. And I had somebody tell me this the other day. They said, Pastor, they told me, shared something going on. And then they said, sorry, I didn't mean to lay that on you. I know you're carrying a lot of things. It made me laugh. It's what we do. When you carry, and there's an old saying that's, you know, a shared joy is twice the joy, a shared sorrow is half the sorrow. And the fact is, we're called to carry that together. We're not supposed to be walking this world alone. But as Pastor Nick was leading us in that prayer time, I was thinking about the fact that I want you to spend some extra time in prayer. And if God leads you to even fast, I want to encourage you to do that. And I will fast with you. If you want to share with it what it is you're fasting about, let me know. But having said that, as I was sharing this and talking, Frank Henkel, he moves in the area of prophecy, and he shared this with me, and I wanted to share it with you. Because I feel like God is ready to do some miraculous things. And, you know, I believe that even as Pastor Nick was praying this morning, could even start with that. But it's something, as I read this, you're going to hear this, but I think one of the mistakes we make is sometimes we don't realize God is working. You're not seeing it, but he's working. He's doing things. So listen to this. This is from Isaiah 55:8-9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts not your thoughts. My children, I have seen from heaven and heard your prayers and the prayers of your brothers and sisters around the world for changes that you don't think are taking place or are not taking place as quickly as you think they should. I remind you that not only are your thoughts and ways not mine, but your timing is not my timing. I move in the right way at the right time. In your waiting, I've been moving, changing, shifting, and correcting. I've been busy moving behind the scenes in the unseen, breaking down, breaking through, breaking out, and breaking over strongholds of the enemy. What I've been doing in the unseen will now be manifested in the seen. There will be shifts and changes in everything that can be shifted and changed. Everything. How will you know I have done this? You will know because it can't be explained. No one will be able to explain or take credit for what I am doing. Since I know you love to use words like this, here are some to listen for. I can't explain it. We can't explain that. I don't know how it happened. We don't know what happened. These breakthroughs will be worldwide, and shift will be in every area of influence that the enemy thought he had control over. First and foremost, in my church, in families, in government, educational, media, medical, and economical. You will experience these breakthroughs on a personal level also. Individually, you will see and experience sudden changes that you can't explain. I'm also moving corporately here at Crown Point. You will see breakthroughs that you have prayed for years, emotionally, spiritually, physically, and financially. As you see these things happen, don't hesitate to praise me immediately and loudly, both personally and corporately. I'm gonna ask you all to stand for just a minute here. I know that some of you have been carrying some weights, as Pastor Nick mentioned earlier, walked in with those. And there are people who are carrying some things who aren't even here today. Some of you may know Candace Logan's mom is on hospice. And they're giving her just a few more days. God is moving in that situation too. He's moving in all these things. So I'd like you to do this with me if you would. Just humor me, bow your head, close your eyes for just a moment. I know this hasn't been a salvation message per se, but I never want to miss this opportunity. If you're here today and you haven't been a believer, but you want to try Jesus, you want to try to walk with him, as I described his ways better, you want to give your life over to him and live his way rather than yours. It's a simple process. We would just pray with you that God would, you know, forgive your sins, the things that keep you from following him, that he would work in that, and that then he would come and help change your life. It's For some people, it's like, boom, overnight. To other people, it's a process. Most all of us, it's a process. But if that's you today and you want to walk with Jesus, would you just raise your hand real quick and we'll pray with you? Anybody at all in this room? All right. Well, here's what I'd like to do to close the service. If you're part of our prayer team, if you'd just come forward for a minute. That's usually our staff and board members, and there's some people on the prayer team, but then there's spouses. So if you'd come forward right now, I just want to give an opportunity. If you want prayer for anything, maybe it's starting that breakthrough. Maybe for you, it's been something you've just been carrying, and you've been kind of carrying it alone, and you need someone to carry it with you. We want to pray with you. Whatever that is, it could be physical, emotional, it could be anything, anything at all. If you want prayer for any reason, we want to pray with you in the name of Jesus. So I just want you to come. If you need prayer for anything, go ahead and step out right now as Violet leads us in some song here. And as people are praying here, I just want to pray for the rest of us, and I'll send you out. God, I'm grateful for all that you do. God, I'm grateful. I'm grateful for everything you're doing behind the scenes that we haven't seen or we don't know about, the areas that you're working that we can't even see. And I want to ask in the name of Jesus today, God, that you would continue to do those things, that we would indeed see those breakthroughs. Father, we pray for our world as broken as it is. We pray for Israel. We pray for peace in Israel. I pray, God, that there would be an incredible revival of salvation. People would come to know you as Savior there. And all those Arab Muslim countries around them that are attacking them, God, that they would be changed forever. Father, I pray for the others in our world that are suffering and under repression. We just ask for freedom and freedom to break out, for revival to break out in those places. Pray for our country, God, as we've talked about voting and all that today. I just pray, God, for our leaders, that you would bless them, that you would protect them, that you would give them wisdom. God, we pray for even a revival in Congress and in the whole White House and all the judiciary and all those places where leaders are making decisions, God, that they would make decisions that are line up with your will, with your word. And I pray for us, Father, as you would help us to influence our world. First, for our own prayer lives and time with you to just be revolutionized, but then for us to be an influence in every area that we can, I pray in the name of Jesus. God, we trust you. We know you are the king, that you are in control of all these things anyway. We put our trust in you, and I pray, God, that you would help us then to do our part. And all that in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day. I ask that God would use you in every relationship you have today. God bless you.